Joining us now to get the Cincinnati perspective of what's going on in the NFL is Joe Reedy from the Cincinnati Inquirer. And Joe, I'm fascinated by this potential salary cap at 120, and the teams are going to have to spend 100% of the cap. And I'm curious what the reaction is in Cincinnati, and that Mike Brown's going to have to spend all that money.
Probably, Ken, in the bowels of one Paul Brown stadium right now, the two words are, oh, boy.
Well, we got Marvin on tomorrow. What will his will be, oh, boy, in a different tone.
It'll be interesting when the Marvin triple chuckle comes up on a couple questions that I've been grown to get used to. I think the thing that's real interesting, though, they've always been traditionally at the low end of the cap as far as the floor and stuff, and they're gonna possibly have $17 million in additional money that they're gonna have to spend on top of that, $11.5 million whenever Carson hands in the retirement papers or he's placed on that reserve did not report list. And, you know, depending on everything with Chad, there's gonna be $6 million that's gonna be freed up there too in terms of salary. So their road to getting to 100% just became a whole lot more difficult, but especially here where they want to keep that cornerback duo of Jonathan Joseph and Leon Hall still around, the chances of re-signing J.J.O. now improve greatly because they've got the increased cap room.
Are they better off keeping Chad Ochocinco for one more year? Because, I mean, he's at $6.35 million. Is it better to do that and eat up some cap space for one year than to go out, because you've got a young receiving group anyhow, and go get a different veteran receiver?
I guess, Vinny, the debate is mixed with a rookie quarterback and rookie receiver, and when you're trying to start fresh, does it behoove everyone to keep him for that year when you know basically it's going to be his last year there? Or do you just decide that now we've got some other areas that we need to address? Offensive line, cornerback, safety, Cedric Benson's going to be up, or depending right. what other running backs are out there, is it better to allocate that money elsewhere? And also, I really think they've still got to go out and get a veteran quarterback, too, to help take the pressure off Dalton and compete with Jordan Palmer and Dan LeFevre in terms of figuring out who the three guys are going to be here.
Well, I think when you have 40-some million in cap room, I think those things are you can handle those kind of situations.
That's very true. But, I mean, a lot of teams are going to have cap money. The Bengals are unique in that they're going to have a whole lot of cap money. But I think this free agent class, and both of you guys would agree, it's going to be interesting to see some of the salaries that are re-signed, especially teams that have to retain their guys, how high they're going to have to go to get to that 95 or 100%, whatever the final number is.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Joe Reedy, who covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer here on 105.7 The Fan. And Joe, I'm curious, the Cincinnati fan base, do they realize that their owners have got to spend money now? What's the reaction in Cincinnati that they're going to have a team that has to spend some money?
I think everybody now is kind of waiting to see what that final number is. Is it going to be 90? Is it going to be 95? Is it going to be 100? And the thing that I think the one thing that's kind of been discounted or not really talked about in this whole having to spend a percentage of cap is teams in the past like Washington, Dallas, some of those NFC teams that took risk on players and signed them to some of those long-term deals with the dead money, since the dead money doesn't count anymore and it goes really against your bottom line now in terms of the dead money, you know, how wild teams are going to spend or just how the dead money gets equated now, whether it really takes off your profit margin or not.
Now, is Marvin and the coaching staff excited about kind of what's in front of them with all these young guys? I mean, you got Dalton, you got A.J. Green, you know, you got a lot of young guys that are going to be starting.
Yeah, I really think they are, Vinny, because you got Jay Gruden, a new offensive coordinator in here, kind of a return to the West Coast scheme that's been around here a couple of times and actually started here. A couple of people joked that the West Coast offense is actually the 8th Avenue Viaduct offense because it started at Spinney Field. But Marvin kind of sees it as a reboot and a fresh new start, and kind of equates it a little bit in 2003. Maybe not that dire, because at least he's got a core in that locker room who expects what he wants to do. And I think they've got a lot of interesting young leaders that now, because Carson was a team leader for so long, they didn't feel the need or didn't know how to speak up. And I think now it's going to be an interesting new cast of leaders. Andrew Whitworth and Domitat Peko, who organized the workouts. Raymond Luga moving to the middle, who kind of becomes a quarterback on defense. Leon Hall, a little bit more boisterous. Even Cedric Benson, if he re-signs here, says he's going to be a little more of a more vocal leader too.
Now, what have you heard from the workouts? What have other players said about the scouting report, like on Andy Dalton and A.J. Green? They've been impressed?
Green has not been at the workouts, which was surprising. Tried to get in contact with a couple people, and all they basically said was previous commitments. Dalton looked good at times. He threw it high a little bit at times, but it seemed that he was seeming to get the offense down the plays that they were running. And the one thing, it didn't matter to quarterback who was out there, they were getting out of the huddle quicker and seemed to understand the new playbook. I think they tried to put in 100 plays of what they got out of the new playbook and run it pretty well. In Bob Gronkowski's scheme the past 4 or 5 years, you would have guys during games kind of looking at each other like, where do we line up or what's our responsibility on this route and everything. I think it's going to be an easier playbook to digest for everyone and get a better feel for.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with Joe Reedy, who covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer here on 105.7 The Fan. And Joe, T.O. Is gout with an ACL. They say he's going to miss at least 6 months. How was his 1 year in Cincinnati, and would he have been one of those veteran guys they looked at if he didn't get hurt?
I don't think so. I think it would have been a mutual parting of the ways. T.O. wants to play for a contender. Bengals aren't going to be a contender, and they kind of need a new approach to the locker room. It didn't work out last year. I think as the losses piled up, especially the second half of the year, T.O. became a lot more boisterous in the locker room and had a few interesting things to say. I think the one thing from this offseason with T.O. is he's been the exact opposite of Chad. Chad's tried to get publicity every chance he could get. The only time that I really saw T.O. out or interviewed about anything or even photos taken of him this offseason before the whole reality show and stuff was the White House Press Correspondents' Dinner. I think he was a guest at NBC's table, but there wasn't a lot of tweeting from him. Not a lot of interviews. It seemed like he was handling stuff the right way this offseason as far as being under the radar and seeing how the lockout and everything was going to be settled, which, you know, I kind of admired him for this offseason.
Hey, Joe, was Carson just so frustrated last year, probably because he felt like, or maybe because the plays were called, where they totally changed the formula of what got them success the year before? Running the football, playing good defense, and then last year it was like, you know, it looked like Carson felt like he had to get the ball to Chad and to T.O.
Yeah, I think that is a very fair assessment. And I know Benson was extremely frustrated over that. And, you know, you really had to put the ball in Carson's hands in a lot of adverse situations at times because, let's face it, you had rookie tight end, rookie slot receiver. You had your top two guys who weren't good run blockers, but also they were ultimate freelancers in terms of routes. And I think when you look back at his 5 pick sixes from last year, I would paint 3 of them on receivers running the wrong routes or not being in the right place, and the other 2 that you know, Carson got baited on one, and the second one that he threw in Pittsburgh in the loss was just a very dumb play. But there were a lot of his wide receivers interceptions last year that were balls off the hands or receivers running the wrong routes and everything else. And last year, for the first time, too, he felt a lot of the fan pressure and backlash here. When he went over 20,000 yards in that Tampa Bay game, fans didn't cheer. They booed very heartily, which his family really noticed. And as much as he said it didn't have an effect on him, I think it did.
What is the Mike Brown's response to the ESPN The Magazine article where the Bengals were ranked last in a survey of 122 sports franchises?
They had a rebuttal on the website a couple weeks ago. I don't think it was the greatest rebuttal in the world. It was about 800 to 1,000 words, but the summary that I could say for everybody who doesn't want to read it was, and you're 122 for a reason. And in fan relations, if you're judged fifth worst or lower five straight years, and you were judged fifth worst last year in fan relations, and you were coming off a division title, that kind of shows that, you know, Mike Brown still thinks that winning will solve everything. Guess what? You won a division title 2 years ago. Winning does not solve everything. Your season tickets were stagnant from 2009 to 2010, despite making what were thought to be a couple good moves at the time and keeping a core of a team that won a division title and that everybody was expecting to go on to bigger and greater. And your fans basically yawned and said, okay, big deal. You got to show us more. And instead, you became same old Bengals.
Joe, last thing for you. We're all hearing speculation that this lockout's going to end in the next couple weeks, anywhere between July 4th and the 15th. Is that your feeling on it as well?
Yeah, I think so. I was shocked that the Ravens moved their training camp back from Westminster to their team site, because I thought maybe around July 15th, if nothing got settled that way, all of a sudden the teams would move stuff back. But I just know in Carroll County, the reception that it got and everything, and, you know, that surprised me a little. But I still think starting the week of the 11th, we're either going to have the grace period as far as re-signings, or we're going to be full speed ahead as far as free agency. And from now until February in Indianapolis, we're all going to be going full bore.
Joe Reedy covers the Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer as always. Joe, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Joe.